more in the mix, Conversations with Colette and Corliss. We've got a great show for you this afternoon. We are rocking and rolling and ready to roll. We're going to talk about the CineFam Film Festival, and we've got a great guest with us this afternoon, all the way from Canada.
Oh, wow.
All the way from Canada.
Wait a minute, I thought it was
I
thought it was
that's how we do it right here on the
Colette. I thought it was Canada.
You are in the mix.
Am I on mute?
Conversations with Colette and Corliss. Take it away, Dr. Bennett.
What did you say, Kenny? He was trying to tell you something, Colette.
I was saying I thought it was Canada.
Oh, Canada. Canada and not Canada. Canada. Alrighty then.
So this film festival is in Canada. It's not here, correct?
It is in Canada.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I never heard of this. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, oh, maybe because it's not here.
That's
because
you ain't in Canada.
Canada. Got it.
Canada. Well, this afternoon we have got Naja with us. And she's going to talk to us and to our listeners about the CineFam Film Festival. How are you, Naja? You're on mute.
Oh, jeez. It's got to be like a little jar to drop something in every time.
Oh, listen, that mute button, boy.
Somebody would be rich.
Yeah, if that mute button were money, we would be rich. Oh, my God. We'd be rich. We'd be rich. Well, as we get started, how's everything with you, Naja?
Good. Busy as we're getting closer to the actual festival date, but things are rolling. Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're going to have you talk to us about the CineFam Film Festival there in Canada, for real, and what your role is. And now I understand this is all Black women doing this? All Black women are involved in this?
Well, actually, it's creators of color, so kind of the array. So we've got everybody involved in terms of the team, and then as well for the directors, filmmakers that are part of the festival.
Okay.
And it's actually online. So this year, everybody can check it out from wherever you are. You can tune in online on Caribbean Tales TV.
On who Tales?
Caribbean Tales.
Oh, Caribbean Tales. Okay. Caribbean Tales TV. Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. So tell us from the beginning, your role and what you're doing, what the film festival is all about, how people are able to participate in it. So tell us from the beginning, how did you get involved and what is your role?
For sure. I just joined the team this year at the beginning of the summer, and I am the marketing manager. So CineFam, there's nothing like it in Canada. So, the CEO, Frances Ann, she wanted to just make sure that women of color, creators of color and non-binary creators of color have the chance to share their stories and their perspectives through film. So she created CineFam. So the event, the actual festival is running from the 23rd to the 30th, and everything will be online on Caribbean Tales TV, and it's a free festival. So that's the other part of it. Like, it's completely free. All you have to do is go to cinefam.ca, and that's CINEFAM.ca, and you can sign up, and then you'll be able to watch all of the films. There's going to be a great opening night, an award ceremony, and then all of the other films will be available on demand until the 30th.
Oh.
So you'll be able to watch them kind of at your leisure after the first 2 days, which is, pretty handy as well right now.
So does everyone that's in the festival, they have to be Canadian or no?
No, but we've been focusing on Canadian filmmakers this year. I think hopefully, when we can hopefully all be together again, we'll be able to be open up a little bit more and expand to some other areas as well.
So how did you get involved?
So I saw the role from marketing manager with Caribbean Tales, the media group. And so I applied for that role. I just thought it was an important role to be a part of, just, you know, spaces for people of Caribbean descent, spaces for women of color, and telling their stories through film, which is like, I love. So yeah, that's how I got involved with the organization.
So your background is film?
My background is actually creative arts marketing. And then I just have a love for film.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And in that marketing aspect, mm-hmm. are you all over North America? Where are you? You're in Canada, you're all over. So are you marketing the film festival all over the planet?
Well, we hope so. We hope it's reaching to every corner of the planet, especially since it's online this year. So yeah, it's open. We've been promoting through our networks, through social, through media, all of the avenues, and just trying to get the word out for people to come and really support and celebrate women and non-binary creators of color.
Okay. Well, one thing that you'll like about being on the Intentional Talk Radio is we're heard in over 57 different countries. So they're getting this. And we were looking at some of the analytics the other night, and we always marvel at who's at the top. And I think it was the other day, Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Ireland. Would you believe? Ireland. We've had India at the top. China has been at the top, and we're going, really? And interestingly enough, China was at the top last year.
Okay.
During COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. So guess what? They were listening. Okay. They were trying to find out what was going on over here, because we were trying to find out what was going on over there and how they started this mess. Okay. But just so that you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Corliss.
I said allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But so your film will continue to be everywhere. It'll be everywhere. And now how many film will be in this festival? How many do you have?
So there is quite an array of films. I think it's about 30 or so in and around the number. There's everything. There's romance, love stories. There's sci-fi. There's horror.
What's the difference between sci-fi and horror?
Science fiction and horror, two different things.
What's the difference?
Science fiction is like Star Wars and
space. Oh,
yeah. And then sci-fi, and horror is Freddy Krueger and Friday the 13th.
It's exactly. All the same to me. Okay. So you've got about 30. Have you all done anything with the Pan-African Film Festival?
Not that I'm aware of. As I said, I've just recently joined the team. But I know that there's a lot of connections with some of the other film festivals that are happening in and around the US, the Caribbean, the UK. There's been, you know, some cross-partnership things happening with that.
Well, the Pan-African Film Festival takes place in February.
Okay.
And that film festival usually has,
50?
Maybe 150.
Oh, more than that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. They've got a huge number of films that they're looking for. In fact, one year we were on the red carpet, and I want to say it was something like 146, 56, some number like that, but a big number of film that were being watched, demonstrated.
Right.
It was a huge number. And I believe they stacked them in categories. And at that time, they were giving people options to see, because during the day, people can just watch film after film after film after film. They'd stay there in that Baldwin Hills Theater, and they would just be there all day, just watching the film all day long, all day long. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it differently since last year, and this year it's being done differently. And unfortunately, I haven't heard anything about February coming up.
Okay.
So I don't know what they're doing. And it's probably going to be virtual again.
Right. Yeah.
But.
So how long has the Sin Fam been in existence?
So actually, this is the fifth year. So, yes. And the theme is 5 years of limitless imagination. And yes, it's been running for 5 years, and each year it just keeps growing in terms of the types of films and the different groups and perspectives that are shown.
Is it big screen or is it also television?
So they're all films. There's full length films, and then there's also shorts. So there are many shorts that are, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. And then there's a few full length films that are also being shown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But no television.
No television for this particular festival, but you know, some of the shorts are things that you could see
being on television. Okay. Right.
You could see them actually becoming shows. There's one actually called French Club that as I watched it, I saw this could be a series right away. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I realized that you just started with this position and this company. How often or has it been discussed? How often do films from this CineFam, how often do they get picked up for the big screen?
Well, that I'm not sure of the exact, you know, statistics for that, but a lot of the films, we do see them go on to other film festivals and as well start to get that recognition and get some eyes on those films so that they can, you know, explore some bigger opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, compare what you do to Sundance.
I mean, both film festivals, and you know, this is just a group that, you know, is underrepresented, and we want to make sure that those stories are seen and told. So that's where CineFam comes in. It's all women of color and non-binary creators of color. And that's the focus. And then it's just a variety of stories, and everybody's take is so different. And that's the point, right? Is to give more exposure to different perspectives and different walks of life and different stories. Some are fiction, some are nonfiction. So it's just great to really be able to be exposed to something new, something different. Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about women in film, there's an article out now about Angela Bassett being passed over for major roles, which she could have played. Mm-hmm. And the article states that they passed her over and she was perfect for the role. And why are they passing over people like Angela Bassett? And I look at the Angela Bassett and the Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer and a few others. And I look at them and they, between Viola Davis and Helen Mirren, Hollywood would choose Helen Mirren over Viola Davis.
Right.
So is this CineFam lending itself to making sure that Black women are not looked over and that there are roles that women like Angela Bassett and Viola Davis, that they can play and they can be paid? Because the other thing that Viola Davis said, they will take a role from her and give it to someone white and pay her triple what they would pay Viola Davis. So how can CineFam mitigate that? How can they be instrumental in making sure that Black women are no longer looked over?
Right. I mean, number one is just getting people more familiar with the work. It's there. There's so many creators that are constantly creating out of their own pocket in small spaces. So it's just giving more exposure to not only actors, but filmmakers, directors that are Black women. that are Asian women, that are South Asian women, that are Indigenous women. So it's just giving, you know, just a bigger platform. And I think the more we do that, the more exposure there is to the talent. You know, you can only deny it for so long, you know, when the talent is there. And I think they'll be able to connect with the right people with getting that exposure. And I think that's where CineFan, you know, comes in, you know, in terms of giving more exposure to both filmmakers and actors who are of color.
So do you think that CineFam and Frances Ann and the principals of CineFam will do anything to mitigate, or do you think, or do they take cues from Hollywood?
I'm new here, but I would say definitely not from what I've been exposed to so far. Not at all. It's looking for those stories that we're not seeing. Like, that is always top of mind, is what are we not seeing? Who is not represented? And how can we give them some more exposure and get those films in front of people so they can see that there's so much talent out there. And with, you know, a little bit more help, you know, funding, with whatever it may be, they can do things on the big screen just like everybody else. So I think that's, you know, such an important part of CineFam.
Okay. So in your opinion, and this is a very tough question, but in your opinion, is it more important to bring in Black women, Black actors and writers and creators than it is to bring in others? And as you mentioned, non-binary. So do you look at bringing in Black actors and directors and filmmakers before you look at anyone else? Or is it all the same? Is everybody on the same line?
I believe the way for CineFam, the way it's approached for this particular festival, is that it is along the same line. But there's always, we're always making sure that Black women are represented in CineFam at the same, you know, the same balance, the same amount as every other group there. So definitely not being left out whatsoever, and making sure that they're there and their voices are heard. And I think it's so important that definitely giving exposure for actors, but as well behind the scene, you know what I mean? The writers, the directors are important too, because that makes the story more authentic, right? We need to write our own stories. We need to direct them. We need to produce them so that we can make sure it is the final product is what we wanted to say. So, you know, I think definitely that we're always conscious to make sure that Black women are there at the table and, you know, have as much space at the table as everybody.
So when you say non-binary, does that mean someone who is, or someone who, I'm not sure what that means, tell me.
So that would be anybody who would identify as non-binary from that community, as well as being a person of color. So we just wanted to make sure that, you know, we are really making sure we're inclusive when we're talking about this space of women and non-binary creators of color.
So, which means someone who identifies not man, not woman.
Correct.
Oh, okay. 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 So everybody's on the same line.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And how does that work in terms of bringing people in, getting the attention of the masses?
We hope that, you know, pointing out that this is our focus, these are the groups that we're representing, that there's other people who want to hear those stories. I mean, I know I do. I know what I've been exposed to, you know, all my life. I want to see myself on screen. I want to see stories that I can relate to, or that I can even understand. So, you know, that's the hope, that when people are exposed to it and know that this festival exists, they're going to want to participate. They're going to want to see the films because they can finally feel represented.
And go ahead, Corliss.
No, I was just moving my hand. I just listened.
Oh, okay. So, and you have about, you said 30, 40 film. And what category are the films in? Are they, they're comedy, they're dramedy, they're dramas, they're sci-fi, they're horrors?
Can you give us an example? Like maybe read a couple of the ones highlighted or something? Just give us an idea what types of things are going to be there.
For sure. So actually, there's sci-fi. Zahara the Return is a sci-fi story that involves vampires. Reminiscent of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's a short that's really great. There are stories of self-discovery, and that's like Wash Day, which, you know, highlights a couple stories of, you know, what it means to wash your hair as a Black person and what it means to go out into the world with your hair and how you represent yourself and how and what your hair represents when you're out there and how much that influences you and maybe your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself. That's a really great short. There is stories about family and about love, which is one called Till the Orchard Blooms. Gray Area is a really great one. It's a short, and it follows a model who basically ends up in the same space as her ex and kind of has to deal with those feelings and how to kind of deal with that meeting again after, not being around each other. So there's such a mixture. There's AI, artificial immortality. So that focuses on, AI and what's happening with AI in the, not even the future, right now, what's already been happening.
Right.
So there's so much for everybody. There's another feature that's called Queer Coolitudes.
And it's called what?
Called Queer Coolitudes.
Okay.
So it speaks to, being Indo-Caribbean, but also being from the queer community and what that means here in Canada and from whichever country that the different stories come from. So there's just such a variety.
What is Indo-Caribbean? What's that mean?
So Indo-Caribbean would be, that's anybody who would be of South Asian descent, but Caribbean. So there was
like Indian and Caribbean.
Exactly.
Okay. Indo, got it. I was like, I've never heard that before. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's, like I said, there's a variety of just pretty much everything. So a little bit of action, there's comedy.
I was just about to ask, what are the comedy titles?
So there's one called French Club that I mentioned. It's a short, and you know, it's a young lady who sees somebody that she really likes, and kind of that battle of, you know, approaching them and trying to talk to them and get their attention. So that one is really cute, and it's so funny. And then there's drama. There's a story called The Call, which is actually a little bit of drama and maybe even a little bit of suspense. Not necessarily horror, but, you know, leaning towards that direction. Yeah, so it's about this young woman, and she keeps hearing that this knock at the door and not knowing who it is and getting these mysterious messages and notes. So you're kind of at the edge of your seat, like, what is this about? So it really does capture you in that short period of time.
Okay. So how would one go about getting their film into CineFam?
Right. So every year, they post the call out for people to submit their films. And I believe that's through Film Freeway, which a lot of directors, filmmakers are very familiar with in terms of ways to submit their films. And as well, I know they're working on a database as well of women of colors, filmmakers. So that will be another way that even when the festival's not on, people will be able to come in and kind of see and check people out and go and see all of their different pieces of work.
So during the, how many days is it?
So it's from the 23rd to the 30th. And okay. Yes. So the first 2 days, first day's opening night, where we're going to have our feature, some feature films, and then a talk back. And then the next day we have an award ceremony where we'll be awarding all of the films that have won for all the different categories this year. And then after that, all of the films will be available to watch on demand on Caribbean Tales TV. So, you know, everybody's busy. So this way you can kind of slot in your own, you know, little time slot that you can enjoy the festival for the rest of the time.
Good.
How are you spelling tales? Is it T-A-I-L, T-A-L-E-S? How you?
Sure. So it's T-A-L-E-S.
T-A-L-E-S. Okay.
So Caribbean Tales is in story. Yeah. TV. And then everything, if you go to the website Cinefam, so CINEFAM.ca, so everything's there. So it'll give you the link to sign up. As I said, it's free. So all you have to do is just register. And then once you do that, you'll receive emails that tell you, okay, show, you know, this is starting now, click the link. And it'll bring you to Caribbean Tales TV. And this platform is actually, this is a platform that is there year round, Caribbean Tales. So there's all sorts of content on there. You can actually buy a membership for Caribbean Tales TV and watch all sorts of Caribbean focused content.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Anytime.
So how does one go about getting their film or their short in the CineFam Film Festival?
Right. So on the same site, there's a section there and it will give you full instructions of how to submit your film. And usually right after this festival is done, they'll start setting up for next year. So get in, you know, as early as possible, start to pay attention as soon as this festival is over, because they'll get everything organized to start receiving submissions, because they got to go through all of the submissions and then narrow it down. So, you know, that takes quite a bit of time.
Wow. Have you been working for it long enough to see that process of, because you said you're doing marketing, so I'm assuming you're doing the marketing for that piece too.
Yes. So I'll be assisting with that as well when we start to do the call out for people. And there's already been, filmmakers and directors contacting us because, you know, now that they see it's happening, they might have missed it. So they're like, well, how do I get my film? And it's like, you know, this year, maybe not, but hey, as soon as this one's over, we're going to be looking for next year. So be ready to submit your film.
And is it growing every year?
Yes, definitely. So I get to see kind of what films were there each year previous, and the number of films are growing. And then as well, the community around it in terms of, you know, on social and all of that is growing as well. So just really want to get the word out there because, you know, it's great content. And I think people will be really impressed with a lot of the films at CineFam.
So what can people look forward to after this festival is over? Going forward, what can people look forward to?
Well, Caribbean Tales Media Group, there's always something going on. So I would just, you know, follow on any of the social platforms, and so that you can keep up to date with whatever the next film festival is. You know, sometimes there's some events outside of the film festivals that people can get involved in. So I would just, you know, stay close to that. And you'll be able to see what's coming up next.
So is it every year at the same time?
Every year at the same time. Every year in October.
Mm-hmm. Every year in October.
Yes.
Okay. And having said every year in October, What did you guys do last year, or do you know?
Well, they had CineFem as well. I was not there, so I don't know all the details, but CineFem did run last year. So this is the fifth year that they're running. Number five.
So the second year is virtual as far as that too.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Fingers crossed, maybe next year we'll be able to do some in person. That would be great.
Right. So do you have any content from the US?
Currently for this year, no, not that I believe. But it definitely is something that is open. I think just because of the nature of where it started, most of the submissions, I believe, were Canadian. But it is something that is open. And I think the more that we can, grow and, hopefully have some of these in-persons, we'll have some more filmmakers from the U.S., from the Caribbean, from the U.K., from all over.
Okay. So as time goes on, and CineFam grows, you'll have more. So most of the submissions are from Canada.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Okay. Go ahead, Corliss.
So did you say that from last year, was there one that became a big hit? Like, I think I heard Colette ask you about have any of them become big movies in Canada or even bigger that they crossed over to, the United States from last year or that you know of?
That I'm not sure, but it's a good question. And I think that's something that we should definitely be highlighting because that's a way to, one, draw more directors in and viewership. People want to know that those films went on to get bigger and better. So that's definitely something we should highlight. I know one that's our feature, which a lot of people are looking forward to seeing, is Subjects of Desire. By Jennifer Holness.
What's that about?
So that one is, I'm just going to read. Yeah, let's read that out. So it's told from the point of view of women of both sides of the debate. This is a culturally significant, thought-provoking documentary that takes a comprehensive look at how Black women and their beauty have been shaped from past to present. So a lot of different viewpoints within this film. I know there's a feature from Indiaré in this film. So it's, it's one that I know people are really looking forward to viewing. And that one will be happening on our opening night.
So, and what is it called?
It's called Subjects of Desire. And the director is Jennifer Holness.
Jennifer Holness.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When you said Subjects of Desire, you know what that made me think of? 50 Shades of Grey.
You know what? I can see that connection first. You know what I mean? But it takes a little deeper turn, right? And everybody's going to be expressing and talking about, how they feel in terms of being a subject of desire.
Ah, okay.
How the different perspectives of Black women and how
we fit in this. So in the films, even though you are attracting a diverse audience and a diverse working group or diverse creatives, from a Black woman's perspective, how many films do you think tell a Black woman's perspective?
Oh, wow. So many. The first three that are on opening night, they touch on a Black woman's perspective. So there's Wash Day, Only Light Will Touch Us, and Subjects of Desire. Those are the three that are going to be on opening.
Repeat that again. You said Wash Day?
Wash Day.
Like laundry, like Wash Day.
Wash Day.
Wash like hair wash, right?
Oh, right.
Wash Day.
Wash Day. Wash Right. So it's kind of Wash Day. It has these intimate tales. When people are in the shower washing their hair and then talking about, how, their hair has affected them through their life. And we know as Black women, it's such a topic of everybody's discussion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really touching to hear sort of the stories and like how people eventually came to a place where they loved themselves and their hair and everything, if maybe they didn't start there.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting that you say that. I want to watch that movie, Wash Day, because back when I was a kid, hair was not a big thing. It was not a big thing at all. And I often lament about when my sisters, one behind me and one in front of me, both in the Black movement back then, which you're too young to know about, but both in the Black movement, and they cut their hair off this long, both of them, sure did. And my dad worked for Greyhound. We didn't expect him to come home. We expected him to be out on the road. And when he got home, we were always at school already. Well, this one day he came home before we got out of the house. And we lived on Loma Alta. He came down the hill, turned in our driveway, and we were stunned. We were stunned because he was home. My two sisters came out of the house. He saw them. I'm still trying to get all three of them out of the tree because he went ballistic over their hair. And we couldn't ride to school with our normal group of friends. We had to get in the car with him, which was not a pretty sight.
Until the hair grew back? He did that until the hair grew back?
Well, he blew up. He didn't care about it growing back. All he said was, what he said was, comb it out right now, comb it out. Wasn't no combing it out. The hair was this long, okay?
So they this long, like my hair or a little bit long?
Yes, like that long, okay? Because they were in the movement and hair was not important.
Interesting.
They were strong Black women. They were in the movement. They had a perspective. They had something to say. Everybody was wearing naturals. Everybody was wearing naturals. It wasn't a big thing. Everybody was wearing naturals. I wore a natural. My sisters wore a natural. My mother wore a natural. Everybody we knew wore a natural. Okay? It was no big thing. We didn't have to have a movement about it. It was just what we did. We wore naturals. Angela Davis is wearing a natural today the same way she wore one back then. So when my father said, comb it out, that was like, comb what out? There was nothing to comb out. There was absolutely nothing to comb out. So when we talk about wash day and what girls and women are going through now about hair, it's sort of like, really? My daughter has dreads. I know. Are they dreads or twists? But she's had to cut her hair maybe 3 times because this recent time she had to cut it because it was so heavy that it was bothering her back. It was causing back problems. Yeah, it was causing back problems. So when she went to the doctor to find out why her back was so messed up, the doctor went, your hair.
Wow.
So she had to cut it because the dreads had grown so long that, and her hair became so heavy that it was pulling on her.
Wow. Yeah.
So she's had to cut her hair, I want to say 3 times, but it's really long today. It's not quite as long as it was when it was causing back problems, but I want to say it's down past her shoulders.
Wow.
So, but again, it's a big deal today. Hair is a big deal. And I want to watch, I'm going to tell my daughters about wash day because both of them wear natural hair. What is it about natural hair? What is it? What is the conversation about?
And what was the third movie, Naya? Nija?
Naja?
It's
Something of Desire, Wash Day, and
Only the Light Will Touch Us.
Well, what's that about?
Oh yeah, what's that about?
So this one actually, the main actor is Bale, but it speaks about like the sanctuary of your own bedroom. So it talks about, you know, the morning, that light that comes through the curtains that peeks through. And that's kind of where that only the light will touch us comes from. And it kind of takes the flow of poetry and just talks about the sanctuary of your own room and your own space. It's really great. So those are three that are from opening night. And then throughout there's more. There's French Club, Zahara the Return.
You have anything like The Help?
All those like The Help. I don't think so on this one, but I don't think anything quite like that. A lot of young filmmakers, which is great too, kind of seeing where, you know, the next generation is going. But just to say there's quite a few Black directors and filmmakers throughout this festival. So definitely we are represented, and you know, it's great to just kind of have all these different stories that we don't normally get to see at all, or even just the viewpoint, you know, coming from a viewpoint, different perspective. So we're not a monolith on the screen.
I'm surprised none of them have turned into something, you know, a bigger feature, but you said the festival is only 5 years old. So.
And I'm sure from one of them. So that's definitely a good point that I've already made a mental note of, even for myself. It's like, we would love to highlight those. There's no better way to speak up your festival than to highlight, hey, this is your first. Yeah. And now look where they are.
So I used to work for the University of Southern California, who has the number one top cinema school in the nation, in the world. Anyway, and so having said that, I always hear a lot of, when I used to work there, I heard a lot of students going to or entering into different film festivals. So that's why I wondered, you know, I'm sure that, again, it's only 5 years old, so it may be just getting on its feet, but I had texted one of my students who graduated from there, and I said, hey, and I sent him the promo. I said, hey, have you heard of this? Check us out. Listen, you know. And so he was saying, no, he hadn't heard of it, which is good, because now that's going to be, you know, some conversation here around his friends that are filmmakers. And he was the creative. He was the hold on. I'm going to tell you, Carl. He was the post consultant for the movie Queen and Slim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and he is a 2002 USC graduate of the cinema school of film. And I think they changed the name and make it all this, which is a cinema school, but it's like the cinematic arts or something or another. Anyway. But yeah, so, and I only reason why I found out is that I saw the movie, and I usually don't leave until the light comes on. Right. So I like to like read and see what the, you know,
all the credits. Music's
from and the credits. And I also learned from some of the comedies of the Wayans brothers, just that whole Wayans family, Marlon, all them, Robert Townsend, all the comedy Black films always have a blooper reel at the end.
Yes.
And so I have just learned over my life just to sit there until the lights come on and you hear the of the actual film slapping against the thing and up in the office. And so the only reason why I knew, because he's one of those guys, he wouldn't tell nobody. So unless you were in his immediate circle. So I'm like reading on that. I said, Carl, I'm there. Carl L. Reed, his name is Larnell, and I know that because I read his application, got him in USC, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, okay, because it was spelled too perfectly. And I said, did I just see your name in the credits? I'm leaving Quinn and Slim. And then he responds back with a little laugh out loud. And I was like, once I got in the car, I'm like, boy, why you didn't tell me? So it's like, anything I see cinema, I wanted to make sure that he knew about it so that he can tell people. And even, listen to this, to the broadcast, as well as, you know, get people on, you know, on the website, or, you know, so that we can watch them from here, because you just never know who might like that wash day. I mean, like Colette was saying, like the hair thing is such a phenomenon now. I mean, it really became really something. And so I'd be interesting to see that. And I say that because it's real here in America.
It is.
I mean, it is so real to the point where
there is a bill. There's a bill in the state.
Yeah, we had a bill that got passed. Yes. Right?
Really?
But I remember when I interviewed for USC 25 years ago, I applied for the position, which was at that time I was in admissions the first 3 years, and then the latter 17, I was the director of our Black Cultural Center. So that's when I learned a lot about different students and majors and all of this. Anyway, I applied, and then I hadn't heard. Me and my best friend, we did the master's cruise. This is when I got my master's degree, and we did the master's cruise. So it was our first time, 7-day cruise, right here out of L.A., Long Beach, to Puerto Vallarta, Cabo St. Lucas, and Mazatlan on Carnival. So, of course, you're going on a cruise. You ain't going to mess up your hair, so what do? You get braids, right? So I sit there, and I get my braids, individual. I'm cute, right? Hey, I'm going to get my little ponytail so I can get my hair wet because I got braids, right? And I laugh about this because I tell this when I talk to students about career and how they should look when they go to interviews. I say that to say that the week before, the Friday before, because we left on a Sunday through Saturday, so the Friday before, I get the call that my interview is the day after the cruise. I'm like, I mean, I am losing it because of this hair phenomena, knowing that I cannot go into an interview with braids in my hair. That is just, you just don't do that. You get the job, then you get your braids because they can't say nothing once you have the job. And I am literally sweating bullets like, I just paid blah, blah, blah amounts of money. I'm about to get on this cruise. I'm not going to take them down now because then I can't enjoy my cruise. And then I was just like, you know, just really. And then I was like, you know what? So I called my then boss and I said, look, I am leaving tomorrow for a 7-day cruise to celebrate my graduation. My hair is in braids. So I need to tell you now that I will be in braids. They will be neat. I will pull them up, you know, do whatever I got to do. But I do not have time to take them down, get my hair done, and be at that interview at 9 a.m. on Monday morning when I'm getting off disembarking from the ship at 5 p.m. Right. She was like, oh, okay, that's no problem. I said, yeah, but I need you just to know that so that when they ask you or somebody got an attitude when y'all start debating and talking, you know, about the different candidates, that does not come up as a problem. But I was so scared. So like here in America, that whole hair thing is no joke. And this was in 1996.
Right.
So we're, you know, 25 years ago. You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous that I freaked out like that. And ever since then, I've always told students, you know, when you know you're going to be looking for a job, you need to, your hair, it needs to flow with the wind. You know, you need to look as white, black girl as possible. Are you laughing at me, Colette? You need to look as white, black girl as possible. Which means, like, Colette's hair is acceptable for the interview. You can have it a little longer. You can have it a little bit longer. Do not be coming up in there with no colors, purple and blue and green. You will not get the job.
Yarn.
Look at you. Huh?
No
or yarn. Right? You know, you got black hair with big old purple strings and it's just so I am definitely going to check out that wash day just to hear, because you said it's like conversations of people in the shower dealing with their hair. Is that what you said?
So it's you know,
can you read what it says? Actually, I'm curious.
For sure. Well, I don't think it illustrates that as much when it in the synopsis, but essentially they're in the shower and it's a narration, so you hear the story as they're washing their hair, but it's a narration overlaid, mm-hmm. and you hear, you know, their story of their relationship with their hair from when they were right. young to when they're older. So I mean, I hope that we don't have to keep having that conversation, and I can show up to my interview with either the way my hair goes.
Well, now you can
actually, you know, you can, but it's still a conversation. Unfortunately, it's better, but you know,
was it a thing in Canada?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so you guys have had some issues kind of talking about it through that. Because now there's a law, so they're not supposed to.
Right,
supposed
right.
to notice.
Supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, because I know when I interview people and you're not dressed right, that's the first thing. As soon as you walked in the door, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to see. Let me see what you know. Is your shirt iron? Is, you know, because that means you're taking this seriously when you come in, like we like to say, suited and booted. And I know we're kind of talking about all over, but it's kind of like this whole Black phenomena. One of my students interviewed for so in my office in our residential halls, most people call them dorms. I was over the floor, the African American theme floor, Somerville Place, which is named after the first Black dentist to graduate from USC, Somerville Place. And so the students went through the class with the RAs and stuff. I actually taught one of the sections, and so I had the interviews. And so one of my students, who I had geared up, like we've been talking about, I'm like, dude, you need to do this. You can take this class. You would be great for this. This man, Theo, he's never done it again. He came to the interview. He was sharp with a velour sweatsuit.
Now, clothes is a different thing, you know.
He walked through that door, and I was like, because I had groomed him.
I can't even put. I can't get that picture in my head.
My look, or his sweatsuit, or both.
The velour sweatsuit.
Blue. Not even black. Black, y'all. Not even black. A blue crushed velvet. So velour, like crushed velvet, yeah. Like 1975. Oh, can you take me to fucking hell? That fool walked in the door, and I'm just like, what the hell? In my mind, I was like, oh my God, he just blew it. Had all the answers, did everything right, has volunteered on the floor. The perfect person for the job. And I had to let him know, it ain't happening.
Velour.
Crush velvet looking velour. Kenny, where you at, Kenny? I know yours is still up in the closet. Don't play by trying to be silent. Kenny, where you at? Quit playing.
What
color is your crush velvet sweatsuit? But I couldn't believe it. And so after it was over, and like, you know, we had people come the next day when he came by the office, I said, hey, Theo, let me holler at you for a minute. Close the door. So people knew if I was closing the door, it was a little more serious. And it was probably more personal to me and that student versus a student walking in and, hey, so-and-so, you can kind of hear whatever, because my voice is loud, as you probably know. I said, close the door. And he was like, and I said,
look here, dude.
I said, what the hell were you thinking by wearing that blue sweatsuit yesterday to the thing?
Oh, he was gosh. Like,
and I said, I'm going to tell you this right now. I will not be hiring you. And I said, because you came in there to an interview with a crushed velvet suit. He was like, well, it was only Somerville. And then that took me to a whole nother level. I said, so because you were interviewing for the Black floor, you felt like you can come in there looking thuggish, bonish? Kenny, I'm waiting for you to come in on it. I guess he went to the bathroom. Anyway, I'm like, no, dude. The word interview means you come as best as you can for that hour, that 50 minutes, that higher ed interviews are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
He took it sometimes, as a joke.
Sometimes you meet with a person the night before, so you better have an outfit for that, come back and have another outfit for the rest of the day, and then it ends in dinner. We don't play. You do ever. I said, I want to come across this table, to my desk, and choke you. But I will not be hiring you. I will not be hiring you, nor will I be moving your name forward for another position. Let this be learning.
I bet he won't do that again.
And I tell you, we laugh. One time he came into the office, he had on a suit and tie. I said, he was like, hey, Corliss, look at me. I said, what, you got an interview? He was like, yep. And we both laughed. But never again. 20-year-old Theo Fowles, USC, double. He's got his undergrad and his doctorate from USC. He got his master's in New York. But it is so real. And we as Black folks, we can't be looking any old kind of way when we go to work. And, you know, even so I work at Cal State Humboldt, which is near the Oregon border. To kind of give you that geographic. And they are so super laid back, except the president, he always has a tie on. The VP always has a tie on. One of the business managers, he always has a tie on. We have a first Black president, first Black VP, but other white guy. Oh yeah, we have read about that, huh? Humble. Anyway, but there's certain people that I notice has a tie on. I always come to work dressed for success. And I remember my first week, they were like, oh my God, you dress so nice, but you don't have to be that dressy. And I told her, I said, yes, I do. And she said, oh, why? I said, because I'm a diva. And then she started laughing. I said, but no, for real, I'm a role model. I can't be looking toe up from the flow up. First of all, it's only 35 Black people that work on the campus of 8,000 folks.
Out of 1,600.
I said, so no, I said, I am a role model. I represent my community off of Prince John Slauson. I represent my family. I represent my culture. And I represent a Black female who is working in a predominantly white institution. So, you know, so see how hair takes you all the way through the clothing. But that's stuff that we do. We always dress more appropriately for work than they do. They is not us and we are not them. So whoever your they is and your them, they are not us and we are not them.
Okay.
And so Theo got that lesson and he never did it again. When he was 20 years old. And I was not playing. Because I had power on who was, you know, voting for whoever was going to be. If it wasn't going to be on Somerville Place and put them on another floor, I thought they were good, but not, you know, for Somerville Place. And, you know, So I am so looking forward. And like I said, I know we kind of got off track, but it just all came to a head for me when we were talking about hair and how stressed out I was when that girl called me on that Friday and I was leaving Sunday. And I'm just like, this is my graduation. I'm not going to take down my hair. I didn't pay $100-something. Honey, I pulled that mess, made sure my edges, you know.
That's what the movie is about.
Right.
She's in the shower talking, you know, about saying, her hair.
My edges look just like this. Nice. Because it was only a week old, right? So when I got in the pool, I made sure I put a scarf or a shower because I'm trying to preserve.
It's possible.
I went through some issues. So I cannot wait to, and we're going to make sure that we talk through this, and when it comes up on the 23rd, which I guess is in, my calendar is way over there.
Next Saturday.
Oh, dang, we already?
We're so quick.
Wait, today's the 13th, that's right.
Yeah, 10 days.
Month over, so I'm excited. I'm going to pump it to my students. Like I said, I told Carl, so now he's going to tell two friends and so on and so on. But I'm going to definitely tell people about it. We'll be talking about it more, I'm sure, on our show to make sure. Hey, this weekend, you guys check out this phenomenal film festival that showcases us. Not them. Not them, but us.
Us's.
Right? So Subjects of Desire was, I know we got about a minute, maybe two. That was a love thing. What was that about?
So Subjects of Desire, same thing, same sort of, story of talking about, you know, the experience of Black women and in the world and how you feel about yourself in terms of, I guess, being a subject of desire and how that's been over time. And so the whole theme for opening night is actually the beauty, the idea of beauty in film. So all three films will relate to that. So definitely check in opening night. And then you'll also kind of get a preview of the rest of the film festival. And it's free. I can't stress that.
Glenn and I will be watching. We will be confident.
Absolutely.
We'll be talking about it. Now I just got an idea for trying to get my mind, my Mindful Monday and the stress of hair.
Yeah.
I almost cried. I'm telling you, when I hung up the phone with her and said, yeah, I'll be there Monday morning at 9. And I hung up and I was like, what am I gonna do? But yes, it was something for me to try to preserve my hair for that Monday all day interview back in 1996.
Well, Naja, it has been a pleasure. We've learned so much from you.
We have gone through a full metamorphosis.
Yeah, we did. But it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us, and I know it was last minute for you, but thank you for joining us. And tell Frances Ann, we wish all of you much success, and you can come back to Intentional Talk Radio at any time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll be watching. We're going to support you.
We'll be watching. Absolutely. So have a great film festival. We'll be watching and we'll let everyone know. And thank you for joining us. And this has been In the Mix, Conversations with Colette and Wallace, right here on The Intention of Talking. So Wallace, stay tuned. We've got great shows for you on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. This is where we talk to you, for you, with you, and about you. And you know it's all good. Right here, bringing you news and views that you can use. Have a good night, everybody. Be safe. Wear your mask. If you need to get vaccinated, do that. Be safe, because COVID ain't over, unfortunately. Have a good night, all. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Be safe.
Take care. Bye.